The epistle for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone test his own work, and so he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with others. For each one will bear his own burden. Let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh, from the flesh also will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired. For in due time, we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And the gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretcher, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all, and they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The weather in the Midwest area of the country this summer has been very hot and dry, particularly at the end of August and into July. In Indiana, the temperature was often, it was common that it would be in the upper 90s, and several days it was in the lower hundreds, lower to mid-hundred, and 105, 106 degrees. And the amount of rainfall was about 10 inches below the average. Such conditions usually make it a hard year for farmers, whose crops yield only a fraction of their usual output. The amount of corn grown in a normal year is approximately 150 bushels per acre. And on a good year, you might even see 1 acre yields over 200 bushels. But with a summer like we've had this year, a farmer who I know guessed that for each acre of corn, there would probably only be about 30 bushels. And so it's about a fifth of the usual production. But that 30 bushels was an estimate for if they're using regular corn seed. And this particular farmer, this guy had used a genetically modified corn, which is hardier and able to endure the droughts and the hot weather better. And so for him, he estimated that his own field probably was going to garner almost 100 bushels an acre. So with this modified seed, instead of having only 30 bushels, he's thinking that it would be around 100, which is a significant difference. So whether or not anyone agrees with using the modified seed, whether they think it's a good thing for the environment or not, or whether we should just use organic, all natural seeds, it's easy to see, based strictly on the amount produced, that the modified seed is far superior. So if we use this image of the healthy field, with the corn standing 7 or 8 feet high, yielding almost 100 bushels an acre, and then compare it to a completely natural field, one of those fields in which they use just the simple corn seed. We see the parched stalks, only half-grown, stunted. And based strictly on this, it's easy to say which would be the better. The modified corn seed is far better than the other. And in today's epistle, St. Paul gives us a comparison of two fields. He says there's a field in which men sow either good seed or evil seed. One field represents the spirit, and the other field represents the flesh. For each of us, right now, while we are on this earth, while we're part of the church militant, this is when we decide whether we're going to sow good seed or bad seed. And the quantity of our harvest, the harvest that will take place at the end of our lives, after our judgment, will be based on the decisions which we make here and now. So just as it is in our power, each day to control whether we're sowing good seed or not, so too it's in our power to cultivate a great harvest. The things which we sow, we also will reap. And one of these bad seeds in the bad field, which St. Paul mentions today, is the vice of envy. He says, "Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." These words were written to the Christians in Galatia in order to correct a growing problem which was rooted in envy. St. Paul was responsible for originally establishing the church of Galatia. And after he had set up the local church, he was satisfied that it was stable enough. He moved on to his next mission. But then after he left, some Jewish Christians came up from Jerusalem and tried to lead the Galatian Christians astray. They told him that St. Paul wasn't a real apostle. They told him that you needed to follow the Mosaic law. You had to be circumcised and follow the customs of the Old Testament and in order to be a good Christian. And they even said that those who were Gentile Christians did not have the full essence of Christianity, unlike the Jewish Christians who did. And so these people drove a wedge between the two parties in the town, the Galatians. And so this false teaching caused a lot of jealousy and eventually led to envy among the citizens. And if we look at this envy, we can look at the characteristics of it and see that it is sadness at another's good, which seems to be damaging our own self-interests. So the Gentile Christians of Galatia were growing envious of the Jewish Christians since they were being held as superior to them. The Jewish Christians seemed to possess a good at the cost of the Gentile Christians. Now, envy is directly opposed to charity. When we have charity, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. But envy is the opposite. And we can say that while charity makes friends out of enemies, envy makes enemies out of friends. Envy draws evil out of good. And it is one of the most dangerous of all sins in its effects. From it comes blindness of mind and hardness of heart. It was envy which made the Pharisees see only evil in everything that our Lord did. Envy is the cause of plots and treachery. It was on account of envy that Cain killed Abel. And so, in order to cultivate the field of the Spirit, and not that of the flesh, we must follow St. Paul's admonition not to envy one another, but to love one another. Now, if we look back at that field which is sown with the modified, genetically engineered seed, we see a sacrifice that the farmer has to do. He has to be willing to pay quite a bit more for the seed. He has to be willing to invest in it. And it's the same for us. If we're going to sow good seeds, we have to be willing to invest more. It's far easier for us to sow evil seeds, just as it's far cheaper to use the plain corn seed. But if we're really trying to strive to have good works growing up, which we will harvest in heaven when we after our final judgment, we have to be willing to work hard on this earth. We have to be willing to treat others with charity rather than envy. Suppress our feelings of envy and speak well of others, acting kindly towards them. Let us not seek our neighbor's harm, but pursue the good. And if we choose to serve the flesh and lead a life of sin, we know where our harvest will be among the wicked at the end of time. But if we devote ourselves to practicing virtue, to planting good seeds, even though it's harder, our reward will be greater with everlasting happiness in heaven. What things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.